Welcome to the show about sex. I'm your host, Angela Skirtu, and joining me today is Josh.
Hi.
Hi, Josh.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good.
I'm glad you're here. So today on About Sex, we want to talk a little bit about infidelity and what some of the things are that people do to end up...
Some things.
Yeah, some things about infidelity.
We're going to talk about things today. Do you guys want to hear about things?
I want to hear about things.
Okay,
so lots of infidelity.
We're going to talk about the mistakes that people make that end up getting them in those situations that end up sometimes causing infidelity, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, what are some of the mistakes people make?
Well, one of the big mistakes, so I kind of put it into two categories. There's one, not living the best possible relationship you can live. You know, I think when people feel like they're in routines or getting into
like
ruts.
You beat your wife every day and you do it every day.
Josh,
and you really get into it.
First of all, we do not condone violence on the show.
No, never.
Unless it's consensual BDSM.
And it's not. There's never a time to joke about it, Angela.
So that's one piece. But then another piece is not setting up really clear boundaries for how to protect the relationship.
Like what? What's a good boundary?
Well, before I get into the boundaries, I just want to say a couple things that I keep hearing in my office that are just reminders for everyone out there, okay? Everybody says, I would never cheat on my spouse. I would never do that.
Yeah.
I think that attitude in itself is a red flag to believe that you are just not capable
that
of making
above
a mistake.
It all.
Yes.
Yeah,
because you know what? Every single one of them who has come into my office cheating has said that at some point.
I would never do that. Yeah.
I would never. And so, like, I think people need to take ownership that they can make mistakes.
Yeah.
And so that's one big thing that happens.
Oh, yeah. Be realistic that you are human.
Yep.
Humans make mistakes.
Given the right course of factors in place.
Yeah, like, here's the situation. Let's say you're having a rocky part of your marriage because it happens. That's
it
life. Like, you have a time where you're down. Maybe you're depressed.
Absolutely.
And you start a new job and you sit next to a person of the opposite sex.
Who's kind of sexy.
And you start to build a friendship with them. Mm-hmm. And then
it gets a little flirtatious.
You get a flirtatious. Maybe you go to lunch with them on a work day and then maybe you make that mistake. It can happen. You can easily build a relationship and just make a terrible mistake.
That's actually how
you're in a bad place.
How often they start is commiserating. Like two people in two different relationships are unhappy.
Yeah.
And they start to like share, oh, my husband's such a jerk. My wife's such a bitch. You know,
let me
like,
tell you.
And so then they start just by sharing stories of what they're struggling with. They're not doing anything other than trying to be nice to each other.
Right.
But then one thing leads to another.
Yeah. And there's that attraction. You know, there's all that initial attraction. And then they become close. Yeah.
I think in some ways it's that they're getting their need met from another person. And the need that they're getting met is feeling validated and supported.
Mm-hmm.
And when you start getting supported by somebody else, it's easy to start to feel feelings for them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so that's one thing I hear. Now, the other thing that I hear a lot is people saying, why would you have an affair? Why don't you just leave?
Yeah.
Everybody has the affair. I've never seen somebody who thinks about having an affair and then says, you know, I'm just going to like end my marriage. Yeah. This is what I'm going to do.
No, the reality is when you're married, you build your life together and everything is together. Your bank accounts are together.
Uh-huh.
Your
kids.
Your children are half of that person. So no matter what, you're connected to them for the rest of your life.
Yeah, it's actually very hard to just leave when people say that. That's not what happens almost ever.
Yeah. Trust. Yeah. Guys used to do it all the time, but back then they didn't have the internet.
Yeah.
Just disappear.
Just
be like, I'm done. And walk out.
Well, honestly, I think that's why prostitution existed. I mean, you know, like in some ways, people would be unhappy in their marriage. And so they'd go to see a prostitute. Not that I'm encouraging that choice. I'm just saying there's a reason that exists.
That does happen, though. People use prostitutes.
Yeah.
As a
means to get sex.
An affair, yeah.
Well, so other things that can be a precursor are a sexless marriage.
Yeah.
You wouldn't know how many of my couples start in the sexless marriage.
All of them do.
Not all of them,
but
quite a few.
Like, so you're saying there are some couples who are having really good, passionate sex multiple times a week, having a great sex life, and then one of them still ends up cheating on.
That's why you need two things, the boundaries and a good relationship.
Yeah.
There are people in good relationships that make mistakes.
Yeah.
Crazy. And I read this article, and one of the first things that's listed as why people cheat is opportunity.
No.
That just the opportunity came around, and they didn't feel like they'd
get
caught.
It's easy access, and
which
that's
is bad
why
too.
The internet has become a place where people go to cheat because it's easy, it's anonymous.
It is.
And you can be anonymous.
Well, so that
not get caught.
Going with what you're saying, though, so like, what are the boundaries that you would do? Most people will get caught at some point.
You're not as sly as you think you are.
You know, you can tell when your partner is acting differently. Oh, yeah. Like if you live with somebody every day and they act a certain way, and then suddenly they're like keeping their phone like at their side all the time.
I just want my privacy.
Oh yeah, when they get really pissed off about privacy, they're like, why do you want to look at my phone?
Government always trying to be in my business. Now my wife's always in my business.
She's like, what's wrong? Why do you have to check on me? What's going on? Like,
next year you try to take my guns away.
When you have nothing to hide and your partner looks at your phone, you really don't care. You're like, no. Oh, whatever. Look at my phone. Yeah. What do you see? Anything interesting?
Finding a good porn on that?
And so that's a piece of it. It's like, what are the boundaries? People need to set real boundaries to protect their relationships. And I mean, they can be small and they can be great. I'm not saying people can't have freedom or some levels of privacy, but I mean, I don't know. There are different things that people do that sometimes are putting themselves at risk. You mentioned going to lunch alone with somebody of the opposite sex. Mm-hmm. I know some people do it, but I think that a better boundary would be group lunches. Mm-hmm. You know, like you go out with a group, you can go out with fellow employees, but I think when you're starting to, when you're starting to spend some time alone with somebody that you care about, either of the opposite sex if you're straight or of the same sex if you're gay, let's throw that in there.
Somebody
that you could potentially be attracted to, spending a lot of alone time is a risk. There are other things that can be risks too.
So
go on.
Let's go on to how you fix it. How do you fix it? So you have a person who has a great sex life and then they cheat on their wife because they're stupid. Right. It's like, you know, I have everything great. I have a wonderful family, beautiful wife, great sex life. Everything's great. I'm going to go ahead and just have an affair. So now what do you do?
It doesn't happen that way. But
well, it sounds like it. No. It does every once in a while.
No. Well, I'll tell you that, but I want to go back to that, okay?
Oh, yeah. Because we'll remember that.
I will. Everybody remember cocaine. This is very important. We'll go back to it. But
wait. Back it up. Let's talk more about this cocaine. Why would somebody cheat?
Because it feels like a cocaine rush. It feels like a high. When somebody finds you attractive, it's thrilling. It's exciting. And actually, like
you
a lot of...
special. You feel they special. Like me. Somebody it's like somebody hands you a card that says, I like you. Do you like me? Check yes or no. No matter how old you are, you it like getting that sexy. Card. Even if you don't check yes.
Yes. Everybody likes the like thrill the of being chased. So mm-hmm. It doesn't matter if you're in a happy marriage or not. If somebody seems to be chasing you
when
or
you
showing
me,
interest.
Let me tell you.
Ooh, it was sexy. Mm-hmm. Well, we had that, right? In the beginning of our relationship,
you
there was a new
up with
relationship
me three
energy.
Times? It was amazing. It was so thrilling.
Well, he was chasing me, and I appreciated it.
Yeah. I was tired.
You had a lot of running to do.
There was a lot of chasing. I had to hold her down and make sure she understood she loved me. It took a while.
There was no rape involved.
What? Nobody said that. What are you talking about?
But that's the big part is this, that, you know, like when somebody finds you attractive and there's
that's
that initial surge, it's super exciting.
That's the risk. There's that surge of endorphins that you get from pleasure, which mm-hmm. you can get pleasure from drugs, from doing exercising, from having mm-hmm. sex, from all these different things. And there, if you get a new way of getting it, mm-hmm. it's more thrilling.
It's very hard to say no, and that's the biggest thing is if people
remember,
would say
kids,
no,
just say no
at the first hit.
Are we doing a just say no campaign now
for affairs? Yes, if they would say no right then, pull themselves away from it, remind themselves, I love my husband, I love my wife, I need to get away from this, then it goes away. But what happens is it was such an intense surge that people are pulled into it and they want to mm-hmm. find more, and then it becomes a little bit like an addiction. And a lot of people who've had an affair describe it like
an
addiction.
Yeah.
No, just to the one person. I mean, sometimes they can have multiple affairs, but even to that one person, they feel addicted because there's this sense of, oh, this is wrong, but I want you so bad. And so they're addicted.
I wouldn't put that as addiction would be more if they're seeking out other partners even after they're done with that person. To me, that sounds more just they've kind of fallen in love with them a little bit. I mean, you can
there's
fall
a type
in love.
Of love.
It's love, you know, whatever you want to call it. People
it's excitement.
It's excitement. It's pleasure.
Some people would say though that they didn't fall in love necessarily.
What
that
is
it just
love?
Felt like
define love exactly. So the problem is that everybody thinks love is some magical, mystical thing, but it's a sexual attraction to the opposite sex, and then over time it adds other layers
like
of,
attachment
of love, an attachment of familial love. Mm-hmm. You become my wife, and I love you for other reasons other than that smoking hot body. There are other reasons you. I love you.
Exactly.
You grow to care about them. And you can care about multiple people. And that's the dangerous part. And yeah. when you're trying to live a monogamous life is they don't like it when you do that.
Well, I mean, it is possible to love many people. Sure. So that's a reasonable thing to state. And yeah. I think it's just, it does feel, a lot of people have described it to me as it feels kind sure. of like an addiction because you oh, just yeah. can't say no to that person.
Oh, yeah.
So anyhow, that's what I wanted to say about Coke. But anyhow.
So how do you fix it?
How do you fix it? There's a lot of work to fixing it. A big part is just getting really honest with each other.
Get real, would you say?
Well, you got to get real.
You got to get real.
You got to get down to earth. Well, they have to know everything. And they don't need to know all the details because that's the part that a lot of couples really struggle with is they think I need to know literally everything about what happened. But really what they need to know is the who, what, where, when, and why, and not too much of the really gory details because those can kind of create PTSD symptoms.
You don't want to hear about the penetration or anything.
That's what I meant, yeah. like the gory details.
Wait, do they really want to hear that?
Some people, well, there's this, when you've been cheated on, you feel like you need to know everything and it feels very painful.
Because you weren't there.
Because you weren't there and you feel betrayed in the very deepest sense, but you actually don't need to know everything or you're gonna they pretty much create like a traumatizing situation later. And so we broke it down to like just the who was it, where did it happen, when, how often, that sort of thing. You know, other than that though, like no gory details about like did they go down on you or did they do this. It's like you know, you don't need to know all of that. Just assume there was sex involved, it was very painful, or it's painful for you to to know that that happened. But there's
maybe
no way.
Maybe it was painful. It depends on what kind of sex they're having.
But there's no way to make that better. And actually, this is a weird thing that happens in session. So like when people learn new information, even though they want it and they're like fighting for it, at the same time, once they hear the information,
they
it's so painful.
Shut them down.
It makes them sad and hurt. Well, and so that's why we even have
the
to
reality
filter it.
They want to know because they want it to not be real. So bad that they have to be told what really is going on.
That's so true.
Because it hurts a lot.
They need to avoid making things worse. So here's there's a lot of things that couples can do.
The first thing you should do is not cheat on your wife.
Yeah, that would be the first thing.
The first
that would make it worse.
Your marriage.
Well, sometimes people do a revenge affair. So you need to not do a revenge affair because that's like adding insult to injury.
So you mean the person who got cheated on will now cheat with somebody else?
Because they're so angry, they want to hurt their partner.
That'll show them. I'll just get something in.
It's more that it's such a visceral experience, so painful that they want their partner to hurt in the way they are hurting currently.
But that's a bad way of doing
it. It's not good.
That's just ending your marriage.
It doesn't work. There are people who do it. I don't encourage it. I also don't encourage
I would hope you don't encourage that. You know that really destructive thing that can ruin your marriage?
Don't do it as well.
This is from Angela Skirtu, marriage and family therapist. She says, don't do that.
I would encourage you not to have an affair, really. It really harms, but everybody seems to do it.
I'm really glad you clarified that. Because, you know, today I was like, you know what? It sounds fun. Let's go do that.
Let's go have an affair on my wife. It up. Thanks for not doing that today, honey.
Grand old time, right?
The other thing is they shouldn't make big decisions. So like sometimes people want to like move or they want to burn their house down or burn things like that they were wearing.
You're not allowed to burn your
house
down.
Or sell their car. Like don't do anything major. Really, they just need to be talking every day over the next few months, honestly. And people need to be aware.
They need to mourn.
They need to mourn. It is like grief. It's very much like a grief.
Because your marriage is dead and you could revive it. If you see the right marriage and family therapist like Angela Skirtu.
Thanks
for
the plug.
St. Louis Marriage Therapy. Blah, blah, blah. You hate it. I know you
love it. No, I love it when you plug me. It's fine. Although people aren't
like,
knowing about me.
Why is he saying that? Weirdo. What is going on?
So they need to mourn, but actually there's more to it than just mourning. They need to learn to be supportive and mourning together. And this is a hard part because the person who had an affair feels shame and guilt for what they did. So the partner who got hurt wants to talk to their partner and say, this hurt me. What you did hurt me. And the person who did it has trouble being supportive because they are
the
target.
One that did it.
Yes.
So
and so they feel guilty.
You have to be supportive and be the direction of the anger and
sadness. And it's a very tough position to be in. And it makes them sometimes question, should I be in this relationship? Is it going to be like this forever? It's not going to be that way forever if you grieve well together and learn to support each other. And that's my job, is I teach couples how to support each other.
To where it was?
you can never have the same marriage. You can build a new marriage, that and that sucks. Doesn't mean it can't be a good marriage, but it will never be the marriage you had before the affair. And everybody says that. It, like, the best way to describe it is a broken mirror. You shatter it to pieces. You can make a new mirror, but you will never have the same mirror. But then
it looks like a five-year-old made the mirror.
It doesn't mean it can't be a good one. I mean, there are plenty of people who've rebuilt their marriages as a result.
I'm sure.
And actually, when there was a sexless marriage, many of them have an empathy for why it happened, because it's like, well, our marriage had kind of devolved. It's not a free pass, but people will say, we understand why this could have happened.
Maybe if they have a sexless marriage and they're really not happy in their marriage, they should go to marriage therapy. Because
I would love
honestly,
it if that happened
if
more often.
If we ever had a time where we didn't have sex for 3 months or something and it wasn't a medical problem, we would be at a marriage therapist. Because that's
a problem.
Yeah, I think you need to understand frequency of sex with your partner is a very important part of marriage.
It is. It's a part of what makes you happy.
All the way into your 80s.
Well,
90s,
it's interesting that your number is 3 months, because some of the couples that I see have been years without sex. So it's just interesting in our marriage, like, that difference, you know?
What do they do with their time?
I think they go through their own kind of mourning process.
You know, those must be the kind of people who actually have time to, like, play video games on their own and go shopping. Because they don't have to spend time with their wives.
I don't know. I think it just deteriorates into a roommate situation, and they're both.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like. Like, they're in the same house, but they're just, hey, how you doing? I'm going to go over here.
And they're very unhappy with it. Although, this is the thing. It's usually one person who's okay with it and the other person is not. And so the other person's the one who has to grieve and deal with it.
And then that person's usually
the one that cheats. But it's interesting when, like, it seems like they both appear to be okay with it, but in reality, then there's flirtations going on outside of the marriage.
No, they're not okay with it. They're just dealing with it.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's really happy
not communicating.
At a sexless marriage.
They're not communicating, and they're not helping achieve anything. Words.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. Well, and like, ideally, instead of people saying, if you want to cheat on me, you should just leave me, instead, they should say, you know what, if you're ever feeling that way where you'd want to cheat, what do you say we go to therapy and fix the situation?
Or just have a lot of sex. Even if you can't afford to go to therapy, you still just sit down
and
talk.
Work on it.
Like, sit down and talk. Lay down in bed together with the lights on and just talk.
You know, somebody recently asked me, how do you bring this up? Like, I was at a networking event and somebody was like, how do you bring up, like, if you feel like there are sexual problems? Because that's a little uncomfortable. Yeah. I wonder, I'm not actually sure the best way to do that, because, I mean, I usually get people after they've had that conversation.
Should you have your pants on or off when you bring it up?
Well, I'd say don't have a big fight if you can, but...
It's hard. It's hard. We've been married almost 10 years now, and I have to say, whenever there's been a problem, which everybody has problems, you have issues, it's tough. Because when only one person has a problem and they bring it up with the other person becomes defensive.
Yeah.
Because they don't want to admit that there is a problem, because they're doing their thing and they don't care.
And denial is a very helpful coping technique for crappy situations.
It's a very long river in Egypt.
Denial? Oh, Josh. Oh, my God. That's such a dad joke. I can't believe you did that.
I have a two-year-old. I'm allowed to do it now.
He has. Ever since we had a kid, he's suddenly started to use puns.
Well, let's move on to the next topic, because we're running out of time here.
Sure.
We've got to keep it under 25 minutes.
Okay.
So you wanted to talk about the proper way to...
Well, to handle a vagina in a nice way.
To please a woman. So are you talking manual, oral, what are you talking about?
Yeah, sure, any of those things. Like, if you've never handled a vagina before, here are some ideas.
When you juggle them, it's important to hold them by the handle.
No, you don't juggle a vagina.
Make sure to...
You don't grab it.
Lube it up. It's really important.
Well, so I did want to talk about this. There is a little bit of a gender difference that I've noticed, that, like, if you were to grab a guy's penis... Often they're really cool with that.
Oh, yeah.
If you're in a relationship and it's a way you're trying to initiate sex, I wouldn't say like a stranger would be okay with it, but some strangers might be. Who knows?
No. And I've learned that being married, that the way to win my wife for the night, win her over, is to not just reach out and go honk, honk. And
yeah.
That, trust me, no woman ever will go with that. You know, and she will every once in a while if I'm playful. I'm like honk, honk. And she knows I'm just joking around. She's like, okay, but kiss my neck. Get
yeah,
over
it. Yeah, well, like, so, I guide you where I want
so
you to go.
So really, the vagina's off limits for the first 10 minutes or so.
I would definitely say that.
You can
kind of got to work into
it. You get near there and go, and then go back to rubbing her hips and kissing her neck and all these other things first. But then when you get to that point where you are ready to...
You kind of slide in. But so, no, you bring up a good point, and that is that you really can't touch a vagina right away. It actually feels a little weird or uncomfortable, or some mm-hmm. to some women even a little bit painful. It's like, whoa, what are you doing? Why are you touching that so mm-hmm. soon? And so it's really important not to go straight for the vagina right. when you're interested
you
in
sex. You
have
to be aroused. Even yeah. women have to be aroused to have sex. Men have a visual indicator that clearly, you know, there's a flagpole that pops up. You know, you yeah. can tell
it's
when
easy
they're aroused.
To see if you're interested.
Women have a similar arousal, but there's mm-hmm. no visual. It's not as clear
there's
visually.
There's no vag on.
There is, if you're looking closely at the vagina, it does become engorged.
Yeah, you
just
can
like
see
the
it
penis.
Get a little bigger.
It does become a little bigger. It becomes redder mm-hmm. and wetter.
Yeah.
There's many different things that happen. So once you get there, what do? I've found one of the best ways manually stimulating is to have your hand flat on the ground, like your hand back. It's hard to do this without video.
Yeah.
And have one finger kind of like you're telling somebody, come hither. You know, you're pulling
come
your
here.
Finger like
yeah.
this. You're like, hey, come here. Like pulling a trigger.
Yeah, because that's hitting the G spot. Yeah.
And you want to do it slow.
Yeah, you're not going very fast. Make sure you have well manicured fingers.
You don't
want to
be going like bam, bam, bam. You just want to kind of just, hey,
well, the
vagina is
soft. People need to understand that the skin, the tissues in there is soft. So you don't want
to
be rough with it. You want
to
be tender.
You're going
to
get rough later. But in the beginning, you got to be gentle. Mm-hmm. You got to pet it like a kitten, you know?
Yep. You want to touch the clitoris, and the clitoris is actually a little bit above the vagina. Mm-hmm. It's good if you actually have your partner, if she's female, to guide you where that is, because it can be kind of hard to find.
Yeah. You know, when I was younger, nobody really guided me, so I didn't know what I was doing. I was just kind of like, what do I do here?
Kind of look around and touch things.
It was kind of like I was sticking my finger in a keyhole. Like, that's about as well as I did. But I mean, that's being a teenager. You don't know what to do.
Well, and that's why it's important for people to communicate to each other, too. Like, tell them, hey, this feels nice when you touch this way. Or, hey, take it slower, mm-hmm. softer. I think tongues are nice because it's already a soft piece.
It's really
so
hard
like,
to be hard. Well, it can get intense, but
it can. Yeah. So you can do, like I was taught long ago, the ABCs. You can trace
tongue?
The ABCs with your tongue on the vagina. You can lick upwards, side to side, round and round in circles.
So you can kiss other parts. What
I
like to do is I'll do a little bit of swirl around it to the left, and then swirl to the right around the clitoris.
To the front,
and you got to make sure you have the clitoris, you know, and then at the same time be stimulating the vagina with your fingers.
Yeah.
But when it comes to the clitoris, you can also do kind of just a flicking motion with your tongue. Just go like that almost.
Mm-hmm.
And they love that. They
like a Spanish speaker.
Hola. You got to roll your R's. ¿Cómo estás? Me llamo Juan. I don't know. Sometimes it starts with R.
I was trying to think of
Rojo. Rojo.
Usually you don't roll unless it's in the middle, but whatever. But yeah, like.
No, you start. Anytime it starts, it rolls.
Well, and I think it's important to understand that it doesn't have to be at the clit only. Like, actually running your fingers through pubic hair feels very nice. For the vagina, you can touch at the pubis mons.
Oh, yeah. It's not just about the vagina and the clitoris. You have to...
You can kiss up the
kiss
legs.
Everywhere.
That's really sexy, too, because you're kind of doing a little
honestly,
buildup.
Honestly, it could be a whole show to talk about this.
we can go into more detail.
We just hit the iceberg. But we're going to go ahead and end it there for the day. Maybe we'll talk a little bit more about this next week. This has been Josh.
And Angela Skirtu. For more information, visit www.therapistinst.com.
Bye.
Bye.